been trying to preach a series of messages that I've simply entitled Putting Away Anger, based out of Ephesians chapter number 4, where the Bible is teaching us that there are some things in our lives that need to be put away. As a matter of fact, those of us who are new creatures in Christ, the old must be put away, and there's new that must be put on, the Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter number 4. And one of the things that needs to be put away is anger. Let me just remind you once again that all of us, that is, anger is a common human experience that all of us have, but it's one that can quickly lead into sin. And that's the reason why whenever Paul was writing in Ephesians 4:26, that he said, "Be angry and sin not," acknowledging that anger is a part of our human existence as fallen creatures, but nevertheless, anger can quickly lead to sin, and thus the command to be angry and sin not. And we've discovered in previous messages that anger on the inside of us is one of those emotions that demands to be expressed. And it can be expressed in our countenance. That is, a person who is angry, you can see it in their face and in their body language. It is oftentimes expressed in our conversation. That is, angry words that come out of our mouth, angry posts that are placed on a social website. And sometimes the anger is demonstrated in our conduct. That is, in what we do, whether we're verbally confronting someone, physically assaulting another, or whether it be deliberately avoiding someone, vengefully acting towards someone. But oftentimes anger is demonstrated in our conduct. It's this kind of anger that Paul's writing about. That is, it's this kind of anger that can lead to sin that you and I need to be putting away in our life. We're not talking about an anger that flows out of a love of righteousness, righteous anger that we see demonstrated by our God and by His people. But we're talking about an anger that flows out of a love of self. And that is an anger that oftentimes leads to a selfish, self-centered response. And that is, it can lead us down a road of sin. That is, it needs to be put away quickly. The Bible tells us here that we shouldn't let the sun go down upon that kind of anger, that kind of wrath in our life. And that is, that we should deal with it as quickly as possible. That is, dealing with it immediately if we can, but as quickly as we can. Putting away anger. If you and I are going to experience spiritual growth, if we're going to experience meaningful relationships within our relationship world, or if we're going to experience real unity with others and a growing ministry, and if we're going to have healthy homes, then anger is something that has got to be put away. In this series of messages, I preached to you for a little while about what I called the revelation about anger. We just began looking in the Bible at what it is the Bible reveals about anger. We looked at the statements in Scripture, statements throughout the Bible which reveal the truth and explain the truth about anger. We also spent some time looking at some of the stories in Scripture, and that is, throughout the Bible, we have a lot of stories of people who struggle with anger and how it affected their lives. We discovered that for some, their anger led to destruction. For others, their anger led to all kinds of distraction from the Word of God and the people of God and the men of God like Naaman, who walked away from Elijah angry, walked away from the Word of God. We discovered for some, their anger led to distrust, that is, in their relationships with others. We discovered with some that anger led to disobedience, as Moses became angry and disobeyed God by striking a rock, and it cost him dearly. We discovered that anger can lead to distress. That is, distress and even depression, ladies and gentlemen. We saw that with Moses. We saw it with Jonah. And that is the distress that they experienced emotionally in their life. They didn't want to live one day longer. And the reason why is because they were indeed angry. We talked about the revelation about anger. And then I spent some time preaching to you in the last few services about the roots of anger. And that is, we know what anger is and we know where it can lead, but we've been learning about where it comes from. That is, where it originates and how it develops in our life. And we discovered that there are three main roots that anger develops from in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, the three roots are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is rooted, if you follow anger down to its roots, you get beyond your circumstances, you get beyond your chemical imbalances, you get beyond your bad choices, and you find out it's rooted in the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is the world around us. That is the people that are in the world, the principles that are taught by the world. All of them, ladies and gentlemen, lend to anger. Our flesh, that is our fallen sinful nature on the inside of us. That is, anger can originate from our own soul. And we discover the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, that by harboring anger in our hearts, that we can actually give place to the devil. That is, that we can give him a place to operate in our lives. And that's what he's looking for. The devil uses anger to open the door to our lives. He uses anger to deceive souls. He uses anger to destroy homes. He uses anger to divide churches. He uses anger to devour lives. The roots of anger are indeed found in the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we spent some time talking about the revelation about anger and the roots of anger. And so I'm going to begin now just thinking about the remedies for anger. And that is, we need to find out what the remedy is to this problem that we have with anger, anger that leads to sin. That is there a real and lasting remedy to the problem of anger? And the answer is yes. Now, I've been alluding to this in previous messages, and that is the simple answer, ladies and gentlemen, is a man named Jesus. Christ really is the remedy for the problem of anger. He is the ultimate remedy. There are many other things that may help alleviate anger for a little while, but the real remedy is the person and the work of Christ. I know that sounds really simplistic. That is like a simple answer to a much complicated problem. But the remedy to our struggle to anger really is solved. It really is solved in the person of Jesus Christ. That means this: if you've received Christ, you already have the remedy to your problem with anger. If you know the Lord, you already have the remedy. You say, well, Pastor, if that's true, if I have the remedy, if Christ really is the remedy, if that is true, then why do I still struggle with anger? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? And that is, let me give you a couple of illustrations. It's the same reason why when you have a really bad headache and you've got a pain reliever in your house and it's sitting in the cabinet and you don't take it, that you still have your headache. And that is, you have the remedy, but you didn't take it. It's the same reason why a millionaire gets their electricity cut off. You say, why would a millionaire get their electricity cut off? It's not because they don't have the money, and that's not the answer. They have the resources to pay the bill, but listen to me now. A certain amount of those resources have got to be applied to the electric company. And as a child of God, you have what you need to be victorious over anger. You've already got it. But listen to me now. The availability of those resources must be followed by the appropriation of those resources into your personal life if you're going to be able to overcome the destructive effects of anger in your life. You have it already, but you got to appropriate it. The resources, the remedy is available, but listen, you got to appropriate the remedy into your life. And in your struggle with anger, if you know Christ, listen, you already have the answer, but you have to appropriate Christ and all that He is into the various areas of our life so we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen, Jesus is the one who overcame the world. If you'll appropriate all that Christ has given you into your life, you can overcome the effects of the world as well. And listen to me, our Lord is the one, ladies and gentlemen, who overcame the flesh. That is, He never sinned one time. He never gave into temptation at all, ladies and gentlemen. And while He was fully human, ladies and gentlemen, He never, ever sinned, not even one time. And He's the one, if you'll appropriate all that He has done for you into your life, you can overcome the flesh as well. And by the way, there's the devil. You say, Pastor, how are we going to overcome the devil? He already did. That is, our Lord has overcome, destroyed the works of the devil, John tells us. And if you'll appropriate all that Christ is and who He is in your life and wants to be in your life, you can overcome that as well. The Bible says in Romans 13, 14, listen to me now, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You have to put on Christ. Like putting on a coat. That is, you already have it. You knew you had a coat somewhere when you got ready to go outside this morning. You opened up the door and you stepped out the door and you said, I got to get my coat. And you knew you had one somewhere. And so you started looking around until you finally found that coat that you like to wear when it's cold outside, and you got it out and you put it on. And listen to me now, when you put it on, you are able to endure the cold. You already had it, you just had to put it on. Listen to me, if you've received Christ and He's Lord of your life, you've got to put Him on. Appropriating Him, get Him out of the closet, and put Him on in your life so that you can live in victory. And one of the, listen, that'll help you when it comes to putting away anger. That's the answer to the issue. That's the remedy for the problem of sinful anger. It is Christ appropriating Him to your life. Now, there's several aspects of this that I need to focus on for a little while. And that is how it is. What are we talking about more specifically when we're talking about putting on Christ or appropriating Christ in all the areas of my life? Listen to me now. One of the things that you and I need to understand and appropriate in our life, if we're going to get victory over anger and other kinds of negative aspects of this life, then, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand and appropriate what I would call the position of Christ saints. The position of Christ saints. That is, you and I need to understand our position as the saints of God. You see, the Bible describes the people of God, the redeemed, as saints. And that word saints literally means that as holy ones or ones that have been set apart or separated. That is, when God saved you, He made you a saint. That is, He set you apart. He made you one of His holy ones. He repositioned you. Now, I've been touching base on this over the last several services, but we got to look at it a little bit closer this morning. This idea of our new position as the saints of God, those of us who are in Christ. Now, I know many of you know this verse. The question is, am I going to appropriate it to my life? Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and by the way, if you're a believer, if you received Him, you are in Him. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away. The old you has passed away. It is dead. And behold, all things are become new. The old is passed away and everything has become new. You are a brand new creature in Christ. Listen, those of you who are saved, you've been repositioned so that now you are in Christ. Before you got saved, you were not in Christ. You were in Adam. That is, you were connected to the first Adam, the one who sinned in the Garden of Eden. That's the reason why that you are the way you are is because you are connected to Adam. The reason why you're a sinner is because of your connection to Adam. The reason why the death is around the corner is because of your connection to Adam. But listen to me now, when God saved you, He did a repositioning. That is, He took you out of Adam and He placed you into Christ. And when God repositioned you, the old Adam died, the old you connected to Adam died, the old man was crucified, old things are passed away, and you became a brand new creature in Christ. Brand new in Christ, a new creature. That is, the old you has passed away, you're a brand new creature. Listen, this is the truth that we've got to apply to our lives if we're going to be able to deal with such things in our life as the struggle that we have with anger. How can I live in victory in my life over the negative things in my life, one of them being this problem with anger? That is, I need to understand, appropriate who I am. That is my position as the saint of God, as the people of God, those who are now in Christ. That is what Paul is writing about in Ephesians chapter number 4. That's the context for the discussion about anger in this chapter. Look at it more closely with me for a few moments. That is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 20. The Bible says, but you have not so learned Christ. He's been talking about their life before their conversion, how that they were living in darkness, how that they were alienated from the life of God, talking about the ignorance that was in them, that is the blindness of their hearts in verse 18, and how that they were past feeling and given over to lasciviousness and uncleanness and greediness in verse number 19. That was their life before their conversion. That is, but now that they're in Christ, that's not what they have learned in Christ. Indeed not. Verse number 21, if so be that you've heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Listen to verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former way of life, the old man, put off the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That is, he's telling them, that is, now that you have turned to Christ, it's time to put off the old corrupt you. There's the old man that is corrupt, the old man that is deceived, that is, that's believing lies and full of lust. That is, that's what we need to put off. It's time to put that off. And the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be made new over and over again, ladies and gentlemen, in your spirit, on the inside, in the inner man, the spirit of your mind. Talking about the inner man being made new from the inside out. It's not talking about those who are trying to look and get a different look on the outside. Maybe you decide, I'm going to get a different look for Christmas time. I'm going to comb my hair different. I'm going to get some kind of new clothes. I have a new look on the outside. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about being made new on the inside. That is, made new over and over again from the inside out. The Bible says in verse number 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hey, it's time to put off the old man and to put on the new. Hey, the old man is corrupt. It is deceived and lustful. And it's time to put on the new man, ladies and gentlemen, that is a new creation. God has created us brand new. He's created us in righteousness and holiness. Put on that. That is the new man, the righteous man, the holy one that God set apart, the saint that God made you to be. And then he gets specific about how to do that, as you know in verse number 25. He said, wherefore? He said, here's what I mean by that. When I'm talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new. Now listen, in Christ, you've got a brand new position. So put off the old and put on the new. And here's how you do it in verse number 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying. Stop your lying. That is, the old man is a liar. Remember the Bible says in verse number 22, talking about the deceitful lust. That is the lying, the deceit and the lying of the old man. Put off the lying and start speaking the truth. And by the way, don't be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and don't give any place to the devil. Verse number 27. These are some things that have got to be set aside. That is, lying's got to be set aside. That sinful anger has got to be set aside so that you don't give any place to the devil in your life. And by the way, stealing has no place in the life of someone who's a new creature. That is verse number 28, let him that stole steal no more. You say, well, what am I going to do? Well, the Bible says, let him labor, working with his hands, a thing that is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. That is, instead of stealing, you got to go to work and you got to make and earn what it is that you need, and even earn maybe a little bit more to give to somebody else who has need so they don't have to steal. That's the new man, the Bible tells us here. And then in verse number 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is, put off the old mouth. Put off the old lying. Put off the old anger. Hey, put off the old stealing. And put off the old mouth. You know the old mouth you had? You know the corrupt, you know the bad stuff you were saying? You know the bad language you were using? Put it away. You know the smart stuff you were saying? You know the hateful rhetoric that came out of your mouth? You know the demeaning things you were saying to others? All of that, you say, Pastor, that's just kind of how I am. No, that's how you were, the old man. But if you're in Christ, you became a new creature, and it's time to get rid of that old mouth. And listen, and only communicate that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That is, if it's not going to help somebody, stop saying it. If it's not going to build them up in the Lord, if it's not going to minister grace to them, then listen to me now. As a new creature, it shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. Are y'all still with me? This is getting real personal now, isn't it? And by the way, he says in verse number 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That is, you're a brand new creature, and so don't do anything. That is, if it grieves the Spirit of God, don't do it. If it grieves the Holy Spirit, just don't do it. If it's going to bother this Holy Spirit, don't operate in that way. And then he gets real practical again in verse 31. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, as I mentioned again twice in this same section of Scripture now, bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Put all of that away with all malice. Malice is a general word for evil, ladies and gentlemen. Clamor is a word that talks about those who are fighting with one another out of anger. Evil speaking is talking about the bad things we say out of anger. Hey, put all of that away. That's the old man. That's the old you. and instead be kind one to another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has for... Hey, stop all the fighting and stop all the arguing and hey, stop all the bitterness and the anger and start being kind to each other and tender-hearted to one another and forgiving one another in the same way that God has forgiven you for the Lord's sake. You need to forgive one another. You see, the application is being made here, is it not? And that is putting off the old, putting on the new. By the way, this isn't the only time that Paul refers to this kind of application of our new position in Christ. He does it again in the book of Colossians in chapter number 3. Flip over there for just a moment and look at this with me. In Colossians chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 1, If you then be risen with Christ, the idea is that your old man has died and you've been raised a brand new person, a new creature in Christ. If that's true, and listen to me now, if you're saved, it is. If you then be risen with Christ, new life in Christ. If you have new life in Christ, risen with Christ, if that's true, then here's what you need to do. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sit at the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And here's why. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let me just pause there for just a moment, and we'll flesh out some of the rest of these verses. And this, ladies and gentlemen, we find here that Paul is writing to the Colossians, like he did the Ephesians, about our position in Christ. He tells us in verse number 1 that we are risen with Christ, and he tells us here in verse number 3 that we are dead in Christ, that we are dead and our life is hid or buried with Christ in God. Now, the picture here, ladies and gentlemen, is that our old life has died and has been buried, and that we've been raised to new life, risen from the dead, out of the death and burial of the old life. God has raised up a brand new person, and God did it all in Christ. Your position in Christ is the old man dead and buried, and a brand new you is now in existence because you are in Christ. And he applies that to our life here in Colossians 3. If that's true, he says, if it's true that you're risen with Christ, that is, if your old man has died and been hidden or buried with Christ, if all of that is true and you've been raised a new person, then it ought to impact your life. Well, I would think so, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think? I mean, let's go ask a man named Lazarus. He knows what it is to be dead and buried and raised alive. And that is, he was living one day and he got sick in John chapter number 11. And after he'd been sick for a little while, he finally just kept getting worse. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, I can't help you. And his family couldn't help him. He did all that he could. His sisters nourished him the best they could. But ladies and gentlemen, finally he died. You remember the story, don't you? And after he died, he was buried inside of a tomb and the stone rolled over the front of it. And about 4 days after he died, Jesus came on the scene. And ladies and gentlemen, after Jesus arrived and the ladies, that is Mary and Martha, bowed at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother hadn't have died. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though he's dead, yet shall he live. Take me to the place where you buried him. And they took him out there to the place where he was buried. And Jesus saw their weeping and he wept and was groaning on the inside and said, roll away the stone. And Martha said, Lord, by this time, he stinketh. And he said, didn't I tell you, you'll see the glory of God? And she said, all right. And they rolled away the stone. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And here he comes out of the tomb. Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, still wrapped in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now, does anybody believe? I mean, could anybody be convinced that somehow when Lazarus came out of that experience and got unwrapped in his grave clothes, does anybody believe he just went back to his normal way of living? After being dead for that many days, after being in paradise for that amount of time, and now here he is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, you just can't be the same after an experience like that. And that's what happened to you. That's what Jesus did in your life when he saved you. And that is, listen to me now, the old man, the old you died and was buried, and Jesus gave you brand new life, raised you out of the realm of death into the realm of life. A brand new creature in Christ. And you just can't be the same. Everything has changed. And listen to me now, the challenge of the Apostle Paul for all of us is this. If you apply that to your life, that is this repositioning of you, that is out of the old and into the new, the old man dead and a brand new life, if you will apply your new position in Christ to your life, you can live in victory. Let me just look here in Colossians 3 about how we would apply that to our life. The application of our new position, ladies and gentlemen, includes an upward concentration. The Bible says in verse number 1, if you be risen with Christ, then here's what you ought to do. You ought to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. That is, there ought to be an upward concentration. That is, we ought to be concentrating on what is above and not what is around us. That is, having our focus, the Bible's saying here, is seeking those things which are above, where Jesus is at. That is, sit at the right hand of the throne of God, that is seeking Him. Just like the writer of Hebrews said, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. It's a picture of a people, ladies and gentlemen, who are coming boldly to the right hand of the throne of God and seeking Him. That our attention is focused on seeking Him. You see, if I've passed out of the realm of death, if the old man has died and God has raised me a brand new person in Christ, if you are risen, then you ought to be seeking the one who is risen. That is, you ought to be seeking the one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and you ought to set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. You see, the reason why that I get so angry and you get so angry is because we love the things of this earth. We love these things. And when somebody messes with my things, then I get mad. We're like the little kindergartners. That is, like the little toddlers. The ones in the nursery. And that is, they have their little things that they love. And if some other little kid comes along and messes with whatever it is that they're playing with, they get mad. They throw a fit. They start throwing things. And listen to me now, there are many adults have never grown out of toddler stage. And that is, we still love the things of this earth. And when somebody messes with my things and I get mad, it is an anger that flows out of a love of self. But if you ever, listen to me now, if you ever meet Jesus, and many have, and appropriate that to your life, and realize that God has repositioned me now so that now my attention is on things above. Now my affection and my love is on things above and not on things here on the earth. These things don't mean as much to me as those things. That is, what's on this planet doesn't mean as much to me as the one sitting there at the right hand of the throne of God. If you ever get your eyes on Jesus, it'll help you with the anger problem. Amen. That is, if you apply, that's what Paul is doing. He says, if you're risen with Christ, and you are if you're saved, you've been repositioned. The old man has died. You're a brand new person. So you ought to be seeking those things that are above. You ought to be setting your affection on Him at the right hand of the throne of God. You ought to be loving Him. You ought to have an upward concentration. The concentration of your mind and life ought to be all about our Lord and about the things of God. Where there are not only an upward concentration, but there ought to be a forward anticipation. The Bible says in verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. And that is that you and I ought to be have an anticipation that's looking forward, way forward, to the second coming of Jesus, when one of these days, the Bible is saying He's going to come again, the one who is our life is going to appear, and we're going to appear with Him in sharing in all of His glory. Now, I tell you, that's what I'm looking forward to. You see, those who are repositioned out of Adam into Christ, out of the old into the new, ladies and gentlemen, that is, we ought to have not only a new upward concentration, but we ought to have a forward anticipation. What we ought to be looking forward to, ladies and gentlemen, is not money in the bank, but a master coming from heaven. It's our Lord descending from heaven in all of His glory one of these days. And we're going to share in His glory. Hey, the things of this life, hey, fade in comparison to the glory that's going to be shared by the redeemed when Jesus comes again. And if you'll get your eyes on that, if you'll get your anticipator anticipating that, it'll help you with your anger problem. That is, those who are in Christ and been made new creatures, that is, we have an upward concentration, and we ought to have a forward anticipation, and then there ought to be a backwards mortification. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And that is, that there are some things, if that's true, if you've risen with Christ, if your old man is dead and you've been raised a brand new person, not only, ladies and gentlemen, you and I look with up to heaven with our concentration and looking forward with anticipation, but we ought to look back to the old life with mortification. Ought to look back to what we were and mortify all of that. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. And he gives us a list of an example of things that ought to be mortified. The idea of mortifying is the idea of mortification, or the idea of being a mortician. That is just the idea of putting something to death. Here's some things you got to put to death: fornication, uncleanness. That is inordinate affection, that is unusual, out of the bounds kind of affection. These are all, ladies and gentlemen, referring to sexual sin, whether it be normal sexual activity or in the case of inordinate affection and evil concupiscence, that is outside the boundaries of normal sexuality. And he also mentions covetousness, desiring after what it is that God's not willing for us to have, which is idolatry, putting material things in covetousness and desiring after things that God doesn't want us to have. It is idolatry. And the Bible says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time, that is in the past, when you lived in them. That is, the Bible is telling us here, ladies and gentlemen, that there are some things from the past that ought to be mortified, put to death. If it's true, right? Now, this is the application. If it's true that I've been repositioned so that my old man is dead and I've been raised with a brand new life, a new creature, then I need to make sure to keep the old man dead. All of the things that pertains to the old man, all the sins that characterize the old man, they've got to stay dead. They can't be a part of my new life. That which is the part of the old man cannot be a part of my new life. All of that has got to be put to death as well. It's got to be gone. There's a time in the life of the Andrews household that we had some little hamsters run around. Now, I know maybe some of you gone through that phase. I used to have a little girl at my house, and she's not there anymore. But I used to have a little girl at my house, and for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's my daughter. But anyway, I used to have this little girl at my house, and she lived there, and I loved her, and she loved me. She was a daddy's girl, and anyway, she got a hold of these hamsters. We got these hamsters one time. I don't remember how we got them. It was before we moved here, but we got these hamsters. And we thought we had two of the same sex, to find out they weren't two of the same sex, and so we had a lot of hamsters. And And we have this little cage, and we're trying to find a way to get rid of them. And we found this little cage that these hamsters were in. They got these little wheels that they go around. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? And they live inside of that cage, and that cage has to be cleaned. Every once in a while, they get loose, and you have to try to coax them out of wherever they're at. And anyway, we have these little hamsters. But listen, little hamsters, they don't live forever. And there came a time whenever those little hamsters finally all died off. And since she's not here, I tell you that it was a very good day. And it was a day of great rejoicing when they finally died off. But after those little hamsters died, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we did not need anymore was that cage. That is the one with the little wheel in it that they lived in. Hey, the one that had to be cleaned out and taken care of. That is, there came a time whenever we didn't need that anymore. That is, it was for the hamsters, and now they are gone. That is, they're dead. Hey, they're buried out there in my backyard somewhere. And so we don't need that anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that if you're saved, the old you died. Who you were. And now you're repositioned in Christ as a brand new creature. And so there are some things that are characteristic of the old you that died that you don't need anymore, that you shouldn't have anymore, that'll be put away. That is, you don't need that anymore. That's the old you, and now in Christ, you're a brand new creature, and so that has got to go. That is, there are some things that need to be put to death along with the death of the old you. That is, that hamster cage was put to death. And the reason why is because the hamsters are dead. Even so, you died, the old you, and so the things that characterized the old you also need to be put to death in your life. All the sexual sin, the fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection and evil concupiscence and covetousness, oh, that's a big one, isn't it? Just desiring after things so much that we place those things ahead of God and becomes idolatrous in our life. All of that has got to be put away. What's important to you now, ladies and gentlemen, is Him seated at the right hand of God. He is the one that you're seeking. He is the one, ladies and gentlemen, that you love with all of your affection. Your affection now is set on things above, not on things on the earth. So don't be covetous anymore. Don't be full of lust anymore. Put all of that away. Be done with it. You don't need that cage anymore. You don't need it anymore. It's time to put it to death. That is, there's this backwards mortification. And then there's an inward transformation. That is, if you're going to apply our new position in Christ, there not only is an upward concentration, seeking those things that are above and our affection set on things above and not on things on the earth. There's not only a forward anticipation, looking forward to that time when Christ is going to come in His glory and we're going to share in His glory. There not only is a backwards mortification that is going back and those things that are characteristic of the old past, putting them to death, but there's an inward transformation as well, a change that begins to be take place on the inside of us. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that no longer can be allowed in. The Bible begins describing those in verse number 8, and you see what is the first on the list, don't you? These are the things that no longer can be allowed in your life. That is, on the inside of your inner being, there are some things that have got to go. That is, this describing in the verses 5 through 7, those outward sins, but now we're describing those things on the inside, this inner transformation. And the first thing that must go, that must be put off, ladies and gentlemen, is anger, followed by wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. It reminds me of those same things we read about in the book of Ephesians as well, a similar kind of list. That is, one of the things that should not characterize your life now is indeed anger. No place for this anger that leads to sin in your life. It's got to go. That is, your brand new creature in Christ. Listen, a person who's angry on the inside is somebody who has unresolved hurt in their life that has turned into bitterness, ladies and gentlemen, and that is reinforced by our self-centeredness. I like to think of anger and just think about it using this illustration. I like to think of anger as being like a pot of boiling water on the inside of us. It helps me to think of it in those kinds of terms. That is, it's just sitting there boiling, like water sitting on your stove. Some of you cooked some food, and one of the things that you did this past week is you heated up some water on the stove. You got that pan out, you put some water in it, and you began to heat it up. I saw my wife doing that. She was going to cook some eggs, hard-boiled eggs. She got some water, she put it in a pan, and she put the eggs in there, and then she brought that to a boil. Well, just like we turn the fire on in our stoves, even so, there are hurtful things that can happen in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, that turn the fire on the inside of us. And if we don't get that fire turned off, it just keeps burning, and before long, the insides, our inner emotions begin to boil on the inside. Listen, people who are hurt, who don't deal with whatever that hurt is, if they don't get that hurt shut off, it will become anger after a while, like a pot of boiling water boiling on the inside of them. And listen to me, now here's what we do, that is, we try to put a lid on the pot so it's not so obvious to others. That is, there's this boiling on the inside of us, anger on the inside of us. And ladies and gentlemen, we try to keep a lid on it as much as we can so that people can't see the boiling on the inside of us. Paul is telling us here, ladies and gentlemen, that if we're going to live our lives that reflect who we are as now positioned in Christ, that we've got to put away that anger. That is, we've got to get rid of that boiling anger on the inside of us. And implied here is the fact that we can get rid of it. Paul wouldn't be telling us to put away anger if it wasn't possible. You say, Pastor, I just can't deal with it. Yes, you can, or he wouldn't have written this. You can get rid of it. You don't have to be angry on the inside. Instead of a heart full of boiling water and boiling anger, you can have a heart that is full of love and peace if you're in Christ. Not only can you get rid of it, but you should get rid of it. It is from the past. It is connected to the old man, the old Adam. It doesn't reflect who we are in Christ. It reflects our fallenness. You say, Pastor, how am I going to put off or get rid of anger? You got to realize, number one, you don't have a right to be angry. I'm not minimizing any hurt that anybody's experienced, but you and I have no right to hold on to anger, to keep holding on to it and keep holding on to it. Instead, we should repent towards God because of this sin that is on the inside of us. We ought to forgive those who have hurt us. Like it says in verse number 13, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, that is forgiving those who have hurt us. And I'll preach more about that in a future message. We ought to reconcile with whoever's hurt us if at all possible. And sometimes it isn't, but you ought to reconcile as far as possible. And then you ought to choose to live in an atmosphere of forgiveness. Make that choice to live in an atmosphere of forgiveness. And listen to this, and then stop your self-centeredness. You say, Pastor Mean, you're wearing your feelings on your shoulders, so to speak. Stop it. That's self-centered. And listen, sometimes you got to get help from others to work through those difficulties. Angry people look like lost people, not saved people, so put it off. Put off anger. Get rid of it. It has no place in your life anymore. You don't need it. The old is past, and you've been repositioned as a new creature in Christ. Listen, the remedy for anger is Jesus. That is the position that we now have as new creatures in Christ, who are no longer bound to the old, no longer tied to the old. You can put it away. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us, God. And God, the work that you're doing on the inside of us, and I pray that you'd operate upon us and deal with us, Father. And for those, Lord, that have the struggle of anger in their life that's become sinful, I pray, God, that you give them victory over today. God, I pray that you'd help us to understand your truth and the principles of it. Lord, what you're trying to teach it, to apply it to our life. Thank you for what you're going to do. Would you bless everyone here at every point of need and every struggle, Father? Jesus is the answer, and we know that, and we thank you for it. God, thank you for what you're going to do. And pray for those that are lost, that you draw them to yourself, and God, save them by your grace and for your glory today. And we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.